Haskell, April 1892. Elder Haskell, if you have time and patience to read enough of the matter sent in the last mail in regard to the letters I have written to Dr. Maxon, I think you will be able to determine some things as to whether we can put confidence in him as one working with an eye single to the glory of God. How much has he manifested an interest to work in harmony with the testimonies of the Spirit of God in regard to the health retreat? He has exerted all his influence in an opposite direction, with an eye single to his own interest. And now he takes the position that he has in reference to moving the health retreat to Oakland. Who has given him his wonderful wisdom? Have our brethren put out their own eyes that they cannot read the spirit of the man? He will do everything he can to discredit the health retreat and to build up a separate interest of his own where he shall figure. But where do we see a carefulness, a conscientious endeavor to keep close to the counsel of one infinite in wisdom? As you read the letters I have sent to Oakland, you will have some idea of the stubbornness of the man and his determination to do as he pleases and to have his own way. He has not heeded the counsels of the Lord, but has considered it safe to walk in the sparks of his own kindling. He will do anything and everything to be a servant of the cause, but he will not do the very thing that the Lord has signified is right to be done. If he will turn traitor, as did Dr. Burke, he will doubtless do it under a great plea of conscientiousness. This pretense of conscientiousness has been pretty thoroughly tested and proved. I speak understandingly when I tell you that I have very little confidence in his conscientiousness. There is a good conscience and a bad conscience, and the man is most thoroughly deceived in himself. Under this deception, he will do many things in his own spirit that are not in harmony with the Spirit of God. Yet he will be as immovable as a rock to counsel or to any way except his own way. Shall we not be afraid of such a man? The way he has handled matters since he left California makes me afraid of him. Self and selfishness predominate. As a surgeon, Dr. Gibbs is far superior. If Dr. Maxon were teachable, if he did not establish himself so firmly in his own independent judgment, he would be more safe. But if he shows no different spirit than he has shown, we will have to let him go where he chooses. Get a lady physician from Battle Creek, but not one of the Hares. Establish Dr. Gibbs in his old place, with a physician by his side to work with him. Have the agreement made that his time is not to be divided. No separate interest is to hold him. All there is of him is to be given to the work. He should educate himself to do prompt service. If Dr. Maxon and his wife will take hold interestedly, surrendering their way and their will to God's way and God's will, then the Lord will work with them. But do not, I implore you, invest means to create an institution in which they should preside when you have the history of the past before you. Nevertheless, aside from Dr. Maxon, a branch institution should be opened in Oakland, not involving a large outlay in buildings. We read that unless we have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. Romans 8, verse 9. Now let us have spiritual eyesight, that we may be able to discern the Spirit that prompts to action. In regard to hygienic methods and the disuse of drugs, from the light God has given me, there must be a reform. Our people are going far from the light which God has given on this subject. If Dr. Gibbs or Dr. Maxon or any other doctor goes into the institution, he must work in harmony with the light God has seen fit to give to his people in reform methods of treatment. If doctor and his wife unite with Dr. Gibbs or any other physician, all egotism must be done away. The spirit that controlled the medical fraternity has been of that character which will exclude many from heaven unless they put away this spirit and work with the mind and spirit of Christ. Wicked jealousies, evil thinking, evil speaking of their brethren, has been an offense to God. The methods of drug medication have created the bitterest animosity in feeling, almost equal to the prejudice that Catholics have manifested toward Protestants, because they did not view every point of religious faith as they themselves. Such a spirit may be expected in the world, but when it becomes a controlling power among Christians, it is an offense to God. It is a shame when manifested among those who profess to be followers of Jesus. There must be a reform among the medical fraternity, or the church will be purged from those who will not be Bible Christians. It is altogether too late in the day for such a satanic exhibition of spirit as is revealed among medical drug practitioners. God abhors it. I could write much on this subject, but I am not able now.
If you think it wise to employ Dr. Gibbs or Dr. Maxson or both, have matters put as clearly as pen and ink can put them, and do not leave things at loose ends. It would please the Lord to have the health retreat prosper. Those who have felt it their duty or thought that they were doing God's service to tear it to pieces, to demerit it, and talk against it would, I fear, do this same work on a larger scale if they had opportunity. They are under the wrong leader. I will say no more on this line except that there should be a sufficient force to the institution at St. Helena to have a branch of the work at Healdsburg and at Oakland. I hope and pray that the Lord will put his rebuke signally upon the enemy who, with his evil angels, has formed a confederacy with men to uproot and tear down the health retreat. God has said, "Let it live." And it is best for those who profess to be followers of Christ to work in harmony with Christ and to be true as steel to principle, even though it takes the right arm or plucks out the right eye. Yours with sympathy and regard.